This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
All right, your 5 o'clock hour is at hand. Happy drive time, happy commute, happy road home. Thank you for making the WEEI Afternoon Show with Fitzy and Mego today. Andy Hart is off today on personal affairs, and Ted Johnson back in tomorrow at 3. We've got everything you guys need and then some to keep you occupied, entertained, and enraged and more over the final hour until just after 6 p.m. when we pass the baton to our guy, Christian Arkan. He's got your MassMutual Red Sox pregame show tonight before the Sox take on the friggin' Rays. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like anything they've been doing so far. How about you, Mego?
I was in CVS in Dedham last week because I was coming back from Gillette from a Patriots availability, and I heard like around the corner, "Hey, is that Megan Adelini?" And I was like, "Oh my God, is that Buffalo Bill?" No, it's Christian Arkan, my old co-host.
How come she doesn't get a great story, Stiz?
No, because I was busy doing other stuff. Sorry.
Oh, you always have plenty of time to troll me, but no one else gets one when she tells it.
Well, you're asking. I feel like it's, you know, I miss Arkan. I would love to see more
of
him.
Such a great story.
So I'll be listening in.
Same. I love Arkan. I celebrate the whole catalog. And everybody should set their dial and get ready next Thursday night. What you do, you turn on the draft on the TV box, okay? And then you have the radio right by your side or your smartphone using the Odyssey app, and you put on the Arkan and Friends Draft Night Spectacular. Me, Mego, Shime, Arkan, oh my God, the whole crew, a cast of thousands, analyzing, parsing over, picking over the Patriots draft picks, and hoping and praying they trade back and then trade back in. So they leave the night with not one, but two first-round draft picks. That's next Thursday night at 8 p.m. And don't forget, the rest of the WEEI Afternoon crew will be in Green Bay for the week, live by the draft in Lambeau Field. Mego, bigger surprise on the... Actually, no, hold on. Before I get to this question, let's clean up the calls real quick. A couple came in over the course of the commercial break. Hi, Jamal in the car. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Always. What's up, my guy?
Hey, first of all, Fitzy, I got to say you're a little late on calling out Mego on her lavish Larry Davidisms, because a couple of years ago when she was on the afternoon show, I called her out because she had, like, a situation with a dog, and she used that situation to someone else's demise to her advantage. I even got the curb sounder, too. But anyways.
Are you talking about when my dog was baptized?
Your dog was baptized?
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know how you haven't picked up on this yet, but Bill Belichick really needs a tip of the cap. how he set himself up for this whole UNC thing. If you think about it, people that you are able to hold accountable are the most willing to succeed. And he put himself in a situation where he has his girlfriend in his ear every day that's relatable to those young kids. So for at least a couple of years, he's going to be able to succeed using that information, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I hear you on that, Jamal. And let me ask you this question. Jamal, is he still there?
No, he dropped off.
He's not. Okay. Well,
couldn't follow up a take like that.
That was a mic drop or a phone click, if ever. I got you. Thank you, Jamal. Appreciate the call. Let me ask everyone here. I think I have a feeling on which side you're going to come down on. But so of all the guys in my life, all my male friends that are either football fans or, you know, Pats fans, whatever, it is like a 50-50 split. Half the people that I know are like, oh, God, that is just, I can't look at it.
Are we talking about Jordan or UNC?
I'm getting into that, yeah.
Okay, so, well, I don't know where
half,
we're going.
Regarding Bill Belichick and Jordan, half of them are like, oh, God, this is the worst. Why is he doing this? This is sad. He's lost control. He's, you know, just out over his skis. It's embarrassing. And then the other half are like, you're just jealous. He's living his best life. You wish you had a 24-year-old girlfriend who kept your life organized and was beautiful and took good care of you and blah, blah, blah. It's funny how this has just become the latest polarizing subject matter that people argue over all the time in New England, Mego. I think I know which side you come down on, but I'm going to cede the floor to you, young lady.
I got to be honest, it's not really a topic of conversation among my friendship circles.
Don't get to go to Anchovies, have a teeny port, and then just
and
talk
say
about
what's going
what
on with Bill and Jordan? No. I had to be honest, it's not like, okay. It's not the first time that we've seen a May-November
yeah.
relationship
this is
public?
Like late April to almost early December. But
okay,
that's,
that's what I was trying to think of the calendar where that would go. They're two consenting adults, so God bless them. I got to say, honestly, like, I think that people who are a little bit older, men like my dad's age, they're a little surprised because they have this idea of Belichick as being this other guy who he was with the Patriots, where he's no nonsense. He grew up in Annapolis. And so it's more like the social media stuff that he's doing now that's a surprise. And she's wrapped into that because they do all these Instagram posts together. But other than that, I feel like it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind for the most part.
Great minds think alike. There you go.
There you go. Stiz, I know how you feel about it. Ballhawk, have you ever weighed in fully on this?
Probably not. It's a little rough looking at it. It very much feels like his relationship with Jordan and his decision to go coach at UNC are tied together in that a lot of it's related to the ego. I'm still good enough to be a football coach, and I'm still hot enough to date a 24-year-old. I feel like a lot of it is trying to peacock and show the world that I'm still the greatest, and it kind of makes me a little uncomfortable, for being honest.
I push back on that real quick, Dan. Like, I honestly think, because he doesn't have to coach. He doesn't. He can go
right.
He can go on his boat. He can go
so
and
why is
just
he?
Do a book tour
love of the
for
game.
A year.
Honestly, I honest to God think that love of the game. That man loves coaching football, okay. And I honestly don't think he knows what to do if he wasn't coaching football.
So no part of you believes that he's doing this because 32 teams in the NFL exiled him and he still wants to prove he can coach.
I think there's a little bit of that.
There could be a little bit of that, but I think over the majority, I think he just wants to coach, whether that's in the NFL. Sure, was he embarrassed
did his
ego take a hit? Yeah, absolutely, but I think he just wants to coach ball, and that's right, why
yeah,
he's coaching.
Okay, yeah, but none of that has to do with loose skin and old balls, Stiz. Like, that's
whoa.
What I'm, like,
did it ever have to do with that?
That's what I'm talking about. That's the
Are
famous
you out of your
quote.
Mind?
That's the famous quote from Big Daddy, the Adam Sandler movie. I don't doubt that Bill Belichick is at his happiest on the sideline, that Bill Belichick is happiest coaching football, that Bill Belichick wants to, like, have his ashes sprinkled over a football field and be remembered as one of the greatest football minds in American history. That's not it. It's just weird watching his hand, like, you know, somebody that you would probably see as like a product handler, literally be his product handler and be out there adjusting his mic and like control. Like, it's just strange.
Well, that's why I asked John Lyons about it, because he was there. And this is obviously, Fitzy, something that's like, ignited something among a lot of people. I'm just saying, me, myself, in my personal life, it's not really a topic of conversation. You go on social media and you're right. There's this clip floating around of Jordan and she's in the snakeskin trench coat and she's on the field at UNCA, seemingly at a practice slash game and in the spring and very involved. And people are like, some people in the comments or bots, who knows, are very upset by that. But you talk to somebody like John Lyons, who's actually there, and he said she was basically placing a mic and then was out of sight, out of mind for the rest of the practice. So who cares?
Yeah, no, I get it. I was just curious if other people were riding along those like live your best life lines or just thought it was strange. It's a very polarizing topic.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I guess I feel like this is, to me, it's more one of those things, and I'm curious what you guys behind the glass think. Like, is it one of those things where it gets so much attention on social media and that's what it is? Or because I got to say, in my life and like in talking to other football writers, it's really not something that comes up anymore. It's kind of like Bill's in this ACC galaxy far away from the Patriots at this point. And so Jordan feels like a part of that and that they're moved on. They're moved on completely from over here.
People are always going to have an opinion about all matters Tom Brady, all matters Bill Belichick. Like, they were here so long. They were so impactful. They were so important. They were such a huge part of our lives. It's like, these are family members. These are, like, you can't just date or be married to somebody or have them in your life for a quarter of a century, and then no matter where they go and what they do, not have an opinion on it or keep tabs on it. Especially when it's something as polarizing as not just going to coach in the ACC versus being in the NFL. That doesn't bother me a lick. It's all the whole, you know, just, I don't know. I can't
well,
say because
how do you
I,
feel
I'm not
about it. Because you're asking everybody about it. What do you think?
I think it's weird, honestly. I think it's strange. Andy Hart thinks it's sad. Ted Johnson, we know how he feels about all things Belichick. But I don't know. I just think it's strange. I could never imagine dating somebody 50 years my senior.
Oh, okay. That right. I'm like, which way is this going?
Sorry. It's an odd matter for me as well. We also came in playing a little bit of audio on the Red Sox. Let me ask you, Mego, what was the bigger surprise over the weekend? Rory getting over the hump, breaking through, and finally winning his Masters, completing the career Grand Slam, the career slam in golf, or the Red Sox going out and laying an absolute steamer at Rate Field, losing 2 out of 3 and scoring a whopping 6 runs between 3 games against inarguably the worst team in baseball?
I would say that Rory is the bigger surprise because it's, you know, following up on Tiger Woods, and I know done in 2 different ways, but just a huge, huge, momentous, historic moment. And the other side of it is like, I don't want to say, okay, it's April for the Red Sox, so disregard this, because these games do matter. They matter a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that when you're losing to a team that, again, could be historically bad in the Chicago White Sox in the manner that you are, you can't totally disregard that. I just think that hopefully they never have a series like this against a team this bad again for the rest of the season. Because if they do, I think they're in serious trouble. Are they in serious trouble right now, the Red Sox? I don't think they are. I think they have a lot of stuff to figure out. And I think a lot of that should come down on Alex Cora, because you can't look at the payroll and the cast of characters this year and say that ownership hasn't tried and isn't investing. I think it comes down to what Cora gets sorted out with this team over the next 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. I hate to say it, but I can't see if the Red Sox are this inconsistent, if team driveline is... I mean, they've really only had one major offensive explosion. Like, they had that Sunday night game with 18 runs against the St. Louis Cardinals on ESPN. And they had a couple of games where they hit well. I think they had 8 runs scored in Crochet's second start where he came through for them against the Orioles. But by and large, like, this offense has been held in check. They lose 3 out of 4 in Texas. Can't score a lick in games 2 through 4. Get stymied early in Baltimore, then come back a little bit, come home, have a productive offensive weekend and a sweep of the Cardinals, and then the bats just go into, you know, they turn off notifications and go into incognito mode and have just been silent for the better part of a week plus. The Blue Jays, it's cold for them too. The White Sox, yeah, I know anyone that wants to play the whole, like, well, they get paid to play two card. Yeah, but they're really bad. They had half a dozen people go for Tommy John surgery earlier this season. Like, that's a minor league roster, one that you stocked up a little bit by sending them a couple of players, including Kyle Teal for Crochet. And Crochet was great yesterday. Like, thank God for your stopper. They're 3-1 with him. Otherwise, they're 5-8 without him. And there just seems to be, you know, Dan Ball had a great take at 3 o'clock in our 3-point stance. The lack of homegrown veteran leadership and not mercenary leadership, Dan, is what you believe to be a deficit in resource for these players to go to when things aren't working out. See, by mentioning your name, I was hoping you would weigh in on that.
Sorry, we were dealing with a podcast related issue, Nick. If you would be so nice to repeat the comment, I would be happy to weigh in the second time around.
Now, what I was just saying was your take in the 3-point stance at 3 o'clock was that the lack of veteran homegrown leadership is hurting the Red Sox because that deficit in homegrown leadership is not providing for knowledgeable, long-tenured resources for some of the new guys, the young kids, and the people that they've recently signed to rely on or go to figure out how to fix these problems that are plaguing the team.
Understood. Yes. I think that there are numerous different cracks in the foundation that are coming through, but I think a long-standing thing that goes back a number of years is you look at a team that's consistently bad at the details, bad in fielding, and seems to follow the momentum roller coaster the entire roster wide. I just think that there could be a bit of a gap between the highly paid hired guns that you bring in and the younger players that you're developing, and there's only so much that a coaching staff can do. You can teach in spring training, you can break down the video on the iPad as much as possible, but players are always going to be more comfortable going to fellow players, and conversely, veteran players will be more comfortable leading in those situations than coaches may be.
It can't just be as simple as don't worry, they'll figure it out, right, Mego? Like, don't worry, they'll flick a switch, they'll be fine. Like, my spider sense is tingling, like there's something greater at play that's off. And I know we get to talk to Alex Cora Wednesday at 2 p.m. here on WEEI Afternoons, and we'll try to get a feel for how he's feeling about this and see if he's just as cool about it as he was last week and the week before. But I don't feel like they can just flick it. This isn't just flick a switch territory.
And I do think that Cora is kind of the one that you have to direct attention to right now, because as I said before, we are so used to over the last couple of years saying, oh, look at ownership. They're screwing you from the beginning. They're not even filling out the field before they get out of spring training. Like, what a mess. Somebody goes down like Trevor Story and there's nobody there in a meaningful way to replace them. You can't see that this year. And when you look at that, they're leading in strikeouts and they're leading in errors. I mean, for what you have with Alex Bregman, with Trevor Story, and I know it's everybody committing these errors. I'm not picking on those guys. But you would think that there would be, in this small sample that we have so far, a meaningful improvement from last year. And so where does the sloppiness come from? Where does the sloppiness come from? Because somebody like, I don't know, Willier Abreu, like for how he played in spring training, you would never think that he would be producing the way that he's been producing through this season. And he's like your most consistent guy, which is crazy. So I think it comes down to the players, yes. This is the first time when I think we have to seriously look at Alex Cora and say, what's the messaging in the clubhouse? Do you really feel like this is just a statistical anomaly right now, especially on offense, and the strikeouts are going to balance out? Because you've told us that you hate those. Mm-hmm. So, I, again, it's like, for me, I'm sitting here, it's April. We're not even at Patriots Day yet, so I'm not going to, like, lose my mind over where the Red Sox are. I loved what I saw against my Orioles. I think that's closer to who they are. Mm-hmm. But it's also not worth completely waving away when you're losing to the White Sox. The White Sox. Like, they are god-awful.
They are the definition of awful for a reason, and they are a carcass that usually other teams fly in and feast off of, and to watch the Red Sox stumble all over themselves was a little disheartening this weekend, and that's why I think for a team that leads the league in strikeouts and errors, it's worth ringing at least a small alarm bell over, or perhaps calling a team meeting. 617-779-7937. That's your telephone number and your text line. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. Plus, there doesn't seem to be a lot of clutch on this Red Sox team thus far in the season. Clutch has long been debated over and argued to not be something that is qualifiable or quantifiable, but perhaps we might disagree. And how could the Red Sox fix that? We'll get to it. Plus, we have Odds and Ends, supersized edition at 5:45, and a whisker after 6. It's Arcan and the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. But before that, let's catch you up on everything trending in the wide world of Boston sports and beyond with Dan Ball.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.